Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast of the Potter's House in Virginia Beach. Singing holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Worthy, all the earth is filled with your glory, glory. We give you glory, glory. We are a local church with a worldwide vision for winning souls, making disciples, and planting churches. We're a Pentecostal church affiliated with the Christian Fellowship Ministries. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Few miracles that have happened in your life, because tonight what we have is an opportunity to encourage one another. The Bible is clear that we ought to bear one another's burdens. I mean, remember that scripture. To bear one another's burdens, to carry each other's difficulties. That's part of what we're going to do tonight. And as we hear of other people going through struggles, as we hear about the testimonies of others, not only does it help us to be encouraged, but I believe God uses those things to build our faith. As I mentioned this morning, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so what we need tonight is we need for you out there in the audience to maybe be willing to step up and take the microphone and encourage a few people here in this place. Oh, Sandy's excited about that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, gentlemen, for warming up the tub. Amen. It's going to be a great night tonight. But so what this is if you have a testimony that you would like to share this evening, I want to make that easy for you. If you have a testimony, what I'd like you to do is just come to the front and find a place right here in these front rows, and you're willing to give a testimony, and so we'll line up. And God's going to use these testimonies tonight. God's going to help us. God's going to speak to us. And since I have the microphone first, I get to go first. How about that? And so I want to testify about a financial miracle that God has done for us. And so many of you know that recently we started the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University classes. So my wife and I, we got back on track. We got our budget together. Taya's been bugging me about extra spending here and there. And yes, and so we're on board and we're starting to get our finances together. And man, sometimes that's depressing. You know, you get it all on paper and you're like, oh, geez, so far behind. Don't know what we're going to do. So one of the things we were behind on was the Home Owners Association. I don't know. Yeah, so you got to pay monthly when you own the home, the Home Owners Association. So we completely forgot about it. Racked up this big bill, about $500. Okay, $500. And so they're sending the letters, and so we're looking, trying to get all the bills in order. And so we knew that it was, you know, up about $500, and man, how are we going to do this? But so then we call. Taya calls the office. Now, through all of this, yes, we might not have had all of the bills in order, but what we have been faithful to do is to always make sure we're tithing and offering, all right? And so so when we call into the office to say, you know, can we get the exact balance? What do we need to pay this off? And the lady on the phone tells Taya, it's going to be, so if you could just write us a check for $145. No, you must be mistaken. Actually, we thought that it was going to be $500 or $600, something like that in that range. And she said, oh, no, it's just $145. And we said, well, we have a letter here that says a different number. Can you explain that to us? And she said, oh, I don't know how, but there was a $400 payment on your account 2 weeks ago. I don't know where that came from. Me and Taya were thinking about that, saying, is it possible somebody could have known that? Could have? There's no way. I said, Taya, Jesus paid it. He called down. Jesus gave him the credit card number, $400. I can't explain it, but amen. We're going to pay the rest of it off tomorrow. So God is good. Hallelujah. And so we, since the last time we've had a testimony service, we've had a revival. We've had the revival with Tony Chase. Was a powerful time. We had an incredible month last month in January. And so I'm confident that there are some powerful testimonies that you want to share with this body tonight. So we want to get started this evening. If you have a testimony, please don't hold back. We want to hear about it tonight. So we're going to invite Mike to come first and testify. Let's welcome him this evening.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Mike Dawson, and I got a testimony. Since I was a kid, I got into some trouble when I was a kid with bad. Okay, that's it. With pornography when I was young, and I've been in it since 20 years, and not for the last, God delivered me from it. I threw it all away, and I asked God to forgive me and to cleanse me from it. And now that I've done that, I've been feeling more of God's peace, and the burden has been lifted off my back, off my soul for a long time. And so I didn't know that it was addiction, and I didn't know. And God and my grandfather died back in a couple of years ago. He was 91 when he died. And I saw the pearly gates open, and I saw him like he was welcoming me to come into heaven. And I saw Jesus' hands with scarred hands was opening, like welcoming me to the gates of heaven. And my grandfather spoke to me and told me to give it up. And so when I heard him say it, I gave it up, and I threw it all away, and I'm set free. And I thank Jesus for setting me free by his blood. In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Thank you. So for those just arriving, we're having a testimony service tonight before we get to our water baptism. So Brother Chaz this evening. So Chaz is Mike's roommate. Just met him tonight, but he's actually going to be baptized as well this evening. So he's going to come and testify about what Jesus has done in his life.
Good evening, guys. And as you told, Pastor Adam told you, my name is Chaz. I had a grievance, a grudge against my dad ever since he walked out on us. And I was in 2000 of August. I didn't do too well. I don't do too well with abandonment at all. And it was scarred, so it lasted for years. Like recently, we had a rap training that was up in Mount Pillar, Virginia, like a whole week worth. And I had to open up. Something that upset me for years, and that's when I told him my father walked out, left my mom with all the bills, no food in the house, no school clothes. I mean, they shut the lights out, shut the water off. We was almost evicted. I mean, it was awful. But it was something I did not want to talk about. I didn't even want to open up to it because I had sunglasses on because I was crying and I didn't want them to see it. So after the training, when I moved down here, I lived with my mom since 2008. I moved on my own in 2013. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to leave my mom at all. I didn't. Because, I mean, I might be a grown man, but I'm a mama's boy. So I don't leave my mom nowhere by herself. So, I asked my mom, should I forgive my dad for what he did? And she said, I'm not the one you should be asking. You should ask Jesus. And as I was told by my pastor from Jersey, he said, always forgive those, even if they did something wrong to you. You don't have to forget it, but you have to forgive. It was hurtful. I mean, I didn't do too well with it. It was like scarred in my heart. And to this day, I mean, my dad, whenever I bring it up to him, he like gets quiet and like, me and your mom did get along. And I'm like, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't that y'all didn't get along. It's that you was cheating on her. So, I mean, it wasn't that. So he tried to put it all on her, but that's the bad part of my, but the miracle that happened is every job I had since I moved down here, I was working for janitorial, like cleaning jobs. So the end of last year, in October, I started my own janitorial service. And as my first contract was with Dolphin Cleaning. We worked at the Red Robin in Chesapeake and the one in Virginia Beach on Nemo Parkway. A lot of people say, why wouldn't you start doing stuff on your own so you could bring your own profit? I was concerned that I wasn't going to bring in enough profit throughout the time that my business been open. So my main downfall was not getting enough contracts. A friend that had been in business for over 40 years said, why won't you go sign up for housekeeper, home advisor, Angie's List, And I didn't want to do that because I was money coming out instead of coming in my pocket. So I just tried it, and the Angels List manager gave me a discount. It cost $300 to sign up with them, but she only charged me $110. So, and then HomeAdvisor, that cost, I think, well, I don't remember how much, $275, but they only charged me $80 to get signed up for it. So, I mean, contracts started coming in left and right. I started getting text messages left and right letting me know that we want to hire you. Can you send us all the documents? And a lot of contracts require you to have a workers' comp. You know what that is? Workers' compensation? Yeah, I didn't want one because it was cost too much money. So, of course, my uncle kept saying, if you don't get one, you're not going to get any contracts because you have to be able to cover your employees if they get hurt. So my payroll specialist that I work with, he provides insurance policies. So he signed me up for workers' comp, and they only charged me like $140 a month. So that's not bad because workers' comp normally costs about over $2,000 a month. So that's what I do now. I'm kind of self-employed. So most of my employment is dealing with my janitorial service. But the main downfall with me was my father abandoned us, walking out. He walked out, all of us left us stranded. I mean, no food, no money, no lights, no water, nothing. We had to get my grandmother, my sister, my mom's sister, aunt to come help put food in the house, buy school clothes, and turn the lights back on. And I mean, he's in denial to this day. And I'm like, I'm not gonna argue with you about that. That's on you. You know what you did. We know what you did too. So, I mean, it's nothing. We're not gonna argue with you. Just know that that's gonna haunt you for the rest of your life for walking out on us. So, I mean, I forgave him regardless because that's when I had that rap train and I was able to get it off my chest. Thank you.
All right, Miss Ernestine, you gonna give a testimony? Let's welcome her as she comes tonight.
I was told the preacher about my stroke and when I went back home, it was here.
She said, if you didn't catch that, she said a couple weeks ago she came up to the front for prayer after the service. We prayed for her throat. She had a real bad sore throat. And she said as soon as she went home after that service, she felt much better, and amen. It was a wonderful testimony. So thank you for that, Ms. Ernestine. God healing. Amen. Adam McFeeder is going to come forward. Let's welcome him tonight.
All right. My name is Adam. I just want to give a couple different testimonies, but I'll be brief. I want to give my testimony of salvation because I haven't given kind of the full one in a while. But the way I used to be is I used to be an alcoholic, and that started early. Age 14, I drank a half bottle of Wild Turkey, and I continued to drink heavy after that all through my teenage years, all through my 20s. And my whole family tree was all alcoholics, so you could see it as a generational curse that was just passed down to me. And not only that, I smoked cigarettes for 10 years. And even before that, but I only really smoked constantly for 10 years. But before that, when I was in my teenage years, obviously, I would smoke. I smoked a lot of weed, did a lot of drugs. I was always doing that, you know. I was always into pornography, like it wasn't anything. I had no problem stealing, lying, things like that. And, you know, I was into gambling. Pretty much anything that's quasi-addicting or addicting, I did it. I just did it. I just indulged in everything that I absolutely wanted to indulge in. And then in April 2007, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you, after that, it was a miracle because within about a month and a half, God completely took away the drinking. I have not had a single drink of alcohol since the last week of May in 2007. I haven't had a cigarette since the June 1st of 2007 when he said, you don't need those anymore, and I threw them away. I threw that pack away. And then it was like, you know, I got rid of my poker chips, no more gambling. I got rid of my pornography. It was like everything. Once I started making a decision for God, the other ones started getting so much easier, you know. But then there was hard ones, too, cussing a lot, you know. Being a sailor on the ships in the Navy, it's like, you know, everyone uses, you know, cuss words constantly. And so that was tough. But I want to tell you, I got filled with the Holy Spirit in August of 2007. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it gave me the strength I needed to stop cussing. And it's a supernatural miracle if you know sometimes when you're around people, you know how you start talking like them. And in all these years, I think I might have uttered one cuss word since 2007, August of 2007. And only God, only God, because I didn't have any strength. All that stuff controlled me. I was a puppet to, alcohol, pornography, and stuff like that. And so God saved me, and I just want to thank him for all that he's done and completely turned me around. And I got a financial testimony. So a couple years ago, I bought this laptop, this Toshiba laptop, and I needed it for my college, And so it wasn't shortly after I got it. I went on a deployment, and I came back, and the thing was just fried. This laptop would not work. And it's like a $300-some laptop. So I'm like, trying to do my college. I'm doing it on my iPad, and it's tough to type on iPads and things like that. 3,000 words on it was a pain. But I just want to tell you how good God is, because it was last week I was with coming back from men's discipleship, right, with Patrick, coming back from men's discipleship, or maybe going. He's like, hey, the IT department is going to be selling these laptops and computers or whatever at really low prices. So he's like, $40. So I gave him $40. But then some news came out that, they only have a limited quantity, may not be able to get you one. But I want to tell you, God is good, because he brought me a laptop. And Patrick, God used Patrick. And that laptop that I had wasn't even as good as this one that I got. And so that's just a miracle. It's working great. Yeah, it's a ThinkPad. It's like, I'll never buy Toshiba again. I'm kind of bitter towards Toshiba. I still need to forgive them. But, I got the ThinkPad. But then I want to give one more testimony. This just happened a few hours ago. So my sister Rebecca, she got saved back in probably like 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, and she got saved, and her testimony like matched mine, because she probably did everything she's younger than me, so I probably influenced her to do all the bad things that she did, and so she, all this stuff, but then she backslid for a while. What happened was a relationship with a guy, and he put on a front like he was the guy, but he wasn't the guy, so you know what I mean, and that's just, And so next thing you know, she's shacking up with him. But anyway, I just want to fast forward to today. She called me up and said she went to church today. So I believe that she knows, and she's still there with him. But I believe that God's going to move through that. So I just want to give God all the glory for that. All right, let's give it up for Chris.
Well, just looking at Adam's testimony, is very powerful. Never thought that he would go through all that. So mine is just the opposite. I was raised up in the church. I got saved when I was 6 years old, played drums in a choir. I did everything in church. Dad's evangelist, granddaddy's a preacher. So I, was really a good boy, When I went in the Navy, I went to Japan. I told myself, time to party then. So, but I was still good, still hiding, but I still did what I need to do too, and with the church. I was in Japan for 3 years, very faithful in the church, but, I still want to see how the nightlight was, and I still slip in and out of the club, but nobody see me, though. But just amazing testimony that how God brought Adam out, the stuff that he did. And God could do the same thing for church, church newbies too, raise them in church. God can save you too. But I have another testimony. I've been working a job on Sundays, and I think I talked to the pastor about it. I'm working for almost a month, working on Sundays, and tried to slip in here on Sunday night. And I told my owner, I told him I can't go to church. I can't work on Sunday morning. I gotta go to church. So he was like, okay, you go to church. And he texted me again. He was like, oh, you go every other Sunday, But I didn't respond back to him. But when I came in here this morning for church, I said, wow, I really miss Sunday morning, So being in church is you need it as a Christian. You know, you just can't say, oh, I'm good. I can go to work. I'm good. I'm a Christian. Everything's good. But when I came here this morning, man, I felt really good. I said, man, I really missed this. And I went to work, made the most sale that I ever, you know, making a day. So that's how God can do. You put God first. You put your finance first. So that's my testimony right there, that you put God first on a Sunday and Wednesday, and God will bless you.
Amen. So we got time for some more testimonies tonight if there's anyone else that wants to share what God has done. Chris Sost, come on up. Let's welcome him tonight.
Christopher Sost, I've been going here for almost 4 years now. I've been part of this. But I want to share the testimony of when I got saved, or how I was. Like Chris Lee, I was one that was raised in church. I was raised in a church that always preached on, well, you believe in God, you try to be a good person, you'll be fine. You'll never run into any problems at all. Man, was that a lie. When I started hitting problems and I started praying at that about it and not getting my answers, I was like, what's this? They said if you follow God, you're not going to have any troubles. Why is he not answering my prayers and that? So I eventually lost my way from Christianity and lost my way on a path towards God and started falling into Wiccan. I was a practicing Wiccan for 4 years. There was no problems the first few years in there, but then when it got down to the last 2 years, things started going wrong in my life. When I was okay, I met my wife on my ship and that, but then she had some depression problems when she had our firstborn, and they kicked her out of the military no matter how far we fought it, and she fell into a deep depression. So I kept trying to pick up the slack, try to do all things, and it was actually one time before a deployment that because of how bad her depression was, she wasn't paying good attention at the kids at that time. So Shaden fell out, fractured his skull. When you take a kid to a doctor with a head injury, automatic abuse is involved. So CPS came in. Our house was trash because I was constantly going in and out to see and everything, and she didn't have any motivation to really do anything besides, as when in our Sunday school, it's training or raising, instead of providing him with his basic needs and then pretty much sulking the rest of the time. So I got really upset with the CPS agent. I spent a few years working in security. I loved working in security when I was on the ship, but I got mad, stormed out my house, and because no matter what I did, they're like, well, you need to sit down or I'm going to call the cops on you. You're going to sit down. Or I'm like, I'm just trying not to shout across the room. No, don't you even approach me. So I just stormed out my house, started beating up my brick wall. My wife came out there. She pulled my hand away and pretty much had to restrain me on that. The very next 2 days after that, we still had the case going and we were about to deploy. So I didn't know if she was going to pull things together or not to save our kid, or we were going to lose the kid and I was going to come back from deployment with no kid. So when I got to the ship and it still was in that area, I was told, oh, because you had a run-in with CPS, you're a risk now, so you're not out of security. So I'm like, great, I can't go back to where I was in my work because my work required a clearance and they didn't have no clearance on record. And they said, well, you can choose to work in religious ministries to help out with the chaplains and that, or you can work in trash. I'm like, I'll choose the religious ministries, no problem. I mean, I don't like having to be surrounded by all these people that are going to talk faith. And that, believe it or not, they're actually not that. That they may be religious ministries, but half of them are far from being any type of religious. But so I went there and I started helping out with services and that. I'm like, great, just more services. And one of our former members that actually goes to Norfolk now, Tiffany, had come and had a whole 3.5-hour debate with me about, because I was raised in church, I can come up back with every single thing she tried to come at me on. So she's like, well, just come out to my church once. Come out to my church once. I'm like, I'll think about it. Shortly after that, I was still worried about the case because it hadn't been closed yet. They were still checking back and forth. So they're running the gospel service because I have to set up everything and then be there while it's running so I keep count of everyone. The person that was preached a sermon of It's Not Dead Yet. Was the title of it. It's pretty much about prayers. The thing that caused me to lose my way from there is the fact that when I prayed, I wanted God to answer it then, right then and there in my time. But that was the wrong aspect of it, because he's like, you know what, even if your answers haven't been happened yet, they're still in the works with God, and he will work them. So I gave one more chance. I'm like, you know what, I'll try to get to know him in that again. So I said, Lord, if you really exist and still care about me, close this case so I can stop stressing about this. A few days went by on that. Then I got an email from Leanna, and she's like, oh, guess what? They found it inconclusive. The case is now closed. I'm like, okay, awesome. I'm not ready to get saved yet. But I will try to get to know God more and try to hear more of it. So I did. And when she came back from the deployment, we were only back for a few temporary months because it was a quick turnover and then right back out. I was coming here. I was enjoying it, even though I thought everyone was crazy at first with them talking tongues and all that. But I prayed right before the thing. I'm like, Lord, they were trying to, I'm getting ahead of myself. Before that, they were trying to say, oh, well, now that you can't get a clearance, we're putting you in deck. Sorry if there's anyone that's been in deck or is a boatswain's mate by heart. I did not want that life. I didn't want to work on that on the ship. So I'm like, look, I want to stay in religion. I'm finally starting to see things that God wants me to see. I'm finally starting to get something out of it, finally, and get back on my path. So I prayed. During our altar call, I had my supervisor text me, hey, guess what? You're with us until you leave the ship. That was probably, January of 2009. Was it 9? No, 12. Sorry. That I came up and gave my life. Gave my life to Christ. After that, I went out on deployment, came back. I tried to do my normal thing, go out and just go party with my friends as I came back. Had one sip of my drink. I'm like, I don't want this anymore. So I pushed it aside. And since then, it's been a tough journey, but since then, God's been really faithful to me, which I want to share one more testimony on that, because also with that has to do with faithfulness. There's been many times in our life where, because of our tithe or whatnot, I'm like, I don't know if we're going to get through with things. I don't know if we're going to make it. But each time, even though it's been just enough, just in time, God's always been there to help me in there as long as I trust him. Like just recent, most recent example, we were way behind on our electric bill. We hadn't paid it since we switched it over because we either lost the bill or we never got one. So it was really high, and they were like, we're about to shut it off. It went actually probably a week past the date they were supposed to shut it off. A year before that, I actually helped a friend previously with his electric bill. And another friend with the same exact name, even though it wasn't the same one, helped me with my electric to keep it from going. So never worry about your tithe. Never worry about where God's thing. You trust in him and follow him. He will take you where he needs to go, and he will provide for you. Just want you to remember that. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else want to share a testimony tonight? A miracle that God has done in your life? Glory to God. Well, I know we had a powerful revival with Tony Chase. I know God was really moving through that. Anybody else? Quickly, we have time for maybe one or two more.
Patrick?
Let's do it, man. Let's welcome Patrick.
My name is Patrick, and I've been a member of this church since, October of last year. I was saved during Pastor Brooks' last day here, got baptized 2 weeks later on a Sunday in cold water, so you're lucky. It's warmed up for you. But a few things with Adam. I bought him the laptop, and my laptop had actually gone kaput, and I tried to salvage it, but there was no salvaging it. The motherboard was done for. And I needed a laptop for school. So when I actually knew about the sale a week in advance before it actually came out. But I was able to get the funds for it and help Adam and myself out. And then when I said that everybody wanted a laptop, my mom, my grandma, my dad, my friend, I'm like, whoa, hold up. No. So after I got baptized, my dad actually stopped drinking alcohol. He was an alcoholic for 20 years, and he hasn't touched an alcohol since then, so he's going on 3-4 months almost. So God just spoke some mysterious ways. My phone got cut off, and I tried to salvage it, but they said I needed to pay $250 more to get it turned back on for payment arrangement. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't call nobody. And then I go with Chris to lunch because he invited me to lunch, and I get a phone call. That's weird. I'm like, I answer it. My cousin came up with the extra $300 to turn it back on. So, like, God works in mysterious ways, and I prayed for Chaz in the car because of a headache. How's your headache, by the way? There you go. And here's how I know God can heal. I've had a hurt shoulder for almost 20 years. It's a normal pain. I strained my rotator cuff muscle playing baseball, and it took 2 years to heal, supposedly, but it never healed. So, and now that it is healed, I'm swinging a bat again. So, that's all for now. Thank you.
All right, somebody here's got a testimony that you're afraid to give, but you need to give it. Is there somebody here? One more. Don't twist her arm. Okay, here she comes. Let's welcome her tonight.
That was creepy. That was really creepy. So, I've been through a lot in my life. Like, a lot. It would take probably a whole day to tell you my whole story, so I'll give you a sum of it. Grew up in a home with my brother and my mom. Dad left, and she struggled a lot. So I've been through probably everything under the sun. I've been through a lot of abuse, physical, emotional, some sexual abuse. And I was just thinking the other day, I was like, why am I so okay in life? Why am I so happy most of the time? You know, I have my ups and downs or whatever. So I was just thinking about, like, everything that I've been through, and it's just amazing how I'm okay, and, like, my brother is not. Well, he's getting there, but he went the victim approach, and I just sucked it up and said, you know what, this happened to me, but I'm not going to let it affect me. And so the biggest testimony in my life has to be the relationship with my mom, because to me, for everything that I've been through, I didn't see her do anything about it. And I don't know the whole story, because I was on this side and she was on that side, but I never saw her, like, step up and defend me in any way. And so when I was starting to graduate high school, well, I guess up to that point, we had a really rocky relationship. And I was like, oh, my mom, blah, blah, blah. And so when I graduated high school, I told her I'm going to college. And unknown to me, she was in the works to buy a house. And so, long story short, she wound up, instead of supporting me in my decision to go to college, she chose to, I guess you could say, be selfish. She said that she owed it to herself to buy this house. And I was like, really? You're going to choose something materialistic over supporting me in furthering my education. So we got into this big thing about that. She wound up buying the house, and 5 days later, like, we moved in, but 5 days later, I left. It was 5 days after I turned 18, and I had already been admitted to college, and I was in the works. My birthday's in the summer. And so me and my friend, we lived in a hotel until August. So for about a month, and then I went off to school. And then at that point, I had called my mom, and I said, I don't want anything to do with you. You don't want to support me. You don't want to help me get through college. So I don't want you a part of my life. And it wasn't until probably my sophomore year of college that somebody came to me and asked me to go to church with them and things like that. And I've always gone to church. I've always had the urge and the want to go to church. And so I wound up going to church. And started to get involved and stuff like that. And there was like a night of fellowship. And we started talking about the things that are holding us back. And one thing was my mom. And so they encouraged me to just pray about it. Pray about it. Don't do anything. Don't talk to my mom. Don't try to rekindle the relationship. Just pray on it. And I did. I prayed for several years, all the way up until, almost up until the point where I graduated. And it just like slowly, she like slowly worked her way back into my life. I didn't like reach out to her. I didn't like call her up and say, you know what, Mom, I'm sorry for all the things I put you through. She didn't call me. She just like worked her way back into my life. It was really weird how it happened. And we never really sat down and had that conversation. But I call her every Tuesday now. I call her every Tuesday on my way home from work, and we talk for like 30 minutes every day. And it's like nothing ever happened. But if I didn't pray, I just wonder, like, where would our relationship be? Because my sister, she doesn't have a relationship with my mom. My brother pretty much flat out hates her. But I have that relationship with her because I can say that I prayed for it and God granted it to me.
Thank you so much for that. Ramon, all right, let's do it. Let's welcome Ramon Zapata.
Well, my testimony is going to be simple. Very simple. Everybody here has dreams, has problems, has bills to pay, has issues at work. Problem is part of life. As I said in the beginning, it is simple. How many of you, every morning, you say, God, thank you for the apartment that I am living in. Thank you for because my cars are running well today. Thank you because I have food on my table today. Thank you because I am a healthy man or a woman. Let's give thanks for the basic things that God is giving us every day. Let's give thanks for those things. Pray. Pray every morning, pray. One thing that Jesus has given for me is that when He has given me a great strength, a great focus to do what's right. Even when things looks confusive, I don't know what to do. I can be cool like everybody else is. I can get away with this and nobody would notice. He said, Ramon, you know what to do. You know what to do. And you know they're going to be with you as long as you do what you know is right. So guys, let's give thanks for the basic thing that He has given us today. Let's give thanks. Let's seek Him with prayer. Let's seek Him with prayer. He's going to be with us. He knows the desire of our heart. To me, one of the biggest gifts that He has given me. Every night when I go into bed on peace. Every night. Because I'm not perfect. But we know that is not a reason for me to slack off. But I try my best. I go to bed in peace. My family is healthy. I have a beautiful wife. I have to get healthy so people, my friends, let's give thanks today for the best things that God's given us. Let's give God thanks and let's build upon that. Let's keep him pressing. Let's pray, let's seek him, and let's give thanks for the basic things that he has given us today. That's what I have, guys.
All right, anybody else? Anybody else want to take the opportunity to give a testimony tonight? Miracle God has done for you recently. Glory to God. Anybody else? Oh, Sandy's ready. All right, let's welcome her tonight.
Good night, everyone. My name is Sandy Silverbrand, but you can call me Sandy. I don't think I have a testimony per se. I just want to thank the Lord for removing the love of the world from my heart and allowing me to surrender to him in spirit and in truth. So I'm just going to ask everyone to pray for me while I continue praying for myself. Thank you.
What a wonderful thing God is doing. So tonight we're going to bow our heads. Those who are getting baptized, you can go back into the bathroom now if you need to change clothes. We're going to get ready for the water baptism. And so, but we're going to take a few moments tonight just to bring the service to a close as we prepare for our water baptism. And if we would just bow our heads for a moment and close our eyes, in consideration of the great testimonies that we...
We thank you again for listening. Do you want to receive updates from our church in your inbox? Make sure to sign up at our website, vbph.org. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider supporting our ministry with a generous donation? Please visit our website at vbph.org and scroll down to find the Give button at the bottom of the page. We would be so grateful for your support. Until next time, love God and love people.